some kind. The vehicle's frame had been hacked through by axes and beaten apart by the blows of clubs. The traces were still on fire. All that remained above ground of my brother was his left arm and hand, which still clutched the battle axe by which I recognized him. Two village women approached, seeking plunder. "Touch this man," I told them, "and I will cut your hearts out." I stripped my cloak and wrapped my brother's body in it. The dames helped me settle him in the earth. As I scraped black dirt over my brother's bones, the eldest caught my arm. "Pray first," she said. We did. I stood at the foot of my brother's open grave. I don't know what I expected to feel. Grief, maybe? Despair. Instead, what ascended from that aperture to hell were such waves of love as I have never known in this life or any other. Don't tell me death is real. It's not. I've sustained my heart for ages with the love my brother passed on to me, dead as he was. While I prayed, a commander passed on horseback. "Soldier," he asked, "whom do you bury?" I told him. He reined in, he and his lieutenants, and bared his head. Who was he? Did I know him? When the last spadeful of earth had been mounted atop my brother's grave, the general's eyes met mine. He said nothing, yet I knew he had felt what I had, and it had moved him. I am a warrior. What I narrate in these pages is between me and other warriors. I will say things that only they will credit, and only they understand. A warrior, once he reckons his calling and endures its initiation, seeks three things. First, a field of conflict. This sphere must be worthy. It must own honor. It must merit the blood he will donate to it. Second, a warrior seeks comrades. Brothers in arms, with whom he willingly undergoes the trial of death. Such men he recognizes at once, and infallibly, by signs others cannot know. Last, a warrior seeks a leader. A leader defines the cause for which the warrior offers sacrifice. Nor is this dumb obedience, as of a beast or slave, but the knowing heart's pursuit of vision and significance. The greatest commanders never issue orders. Rather, they compel by their own acts and virtue the emulation of those they command. The great champions throw leadership back on you. They make you answer, "Who am I? What do I seek? What is the meaning of my existence in this life?" I fight for money. Why? Because gold purges vanity and self-importance from the fight. Shall we lay down our lives, you and I, for a flag, a tribe, a notion of the Almighty? I did, once. No more. My gods are now Ares and Eris. Strife. I fight for the fight itself. Pay me. Pay my brother. I served once beneath a great commander who asked in council one night of me and my comrades if we believed our calling to be a species of penance, a hell or purgatory through which we must pass, again and again, an expurgation of some crime committed eons gone. "I do," he said. He offered us, as recompense for this passage, an unmarked grave on a hill with no name, for a cause we can't understand, in the service of those who hate us. Not one of us hesitated to embrace this. Book 1. Euphrates. Chapter 2. Espresso Street. 90 miles south of Nasirabad, we sight a convoy of six vehicles